truly grateful for this God-sent, blood-bought privilege that we have this morning. Each and every one that has been saved by the grace of God came through the very same thing, through His blood and through the veil of His flesh. And I'm thankful for salvation, so rich, so free, a grace that no one can explain. I thought, as Brother Roger was singing a little while ago, how do you define grace? How can you really come right down to it? It's something that is so foreign to mankind, and it's almost beyond our vocabulary, our understanding. It is so deep that you can't get under it, and it's so high that you can't get over it. It's so wide that you can't get around it. To experience grace, you've got to go through the door of Christ Jesus. And we want to say this morning, if there's anyone here that is lost, that's unsaved, you've never experienced that new birth, this altar is always open. Now, God doesn't necessarily save in one place. You might decide to bow and to pray in the seat where you're at. You may decide to bow and pray going home. We find that the patriarchs, whenever that they journeyed, sometimes they would stop in one place and they would build an altar and sacrifice on it, and they would offer up a prayer unto God, and you know, God would honor it. And then they'd go on a little bit further and they'd build another altar, and they'd sacrifice on it, and they'd pray to God, and God would honor it. You know, it's not the position or the place that you're in, but it's the position of the heart towards Almighty God. We're so grateful to be here today, thankful to have Brother Kenneth Massey with us, and also to have Brother Spicer and Sister Spicer with us. And we just ask that you pray for us throughout this revival, that whatever is said or whatever is done, that somehow God will receive the honor and the glory that He is due. Pray for the lost. Pray for the lost in this area. As we were discussing, you know, the situation of our times that we live in, you know, we come to the conclusion that we're getting closer and closer and closer to that time when this age will end. And Christ will come back, not as Savior, not as Redeemer, but He'll come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we ask that you pray for us today, that God will grant us the liberty that we need and grant us of His Spirit, that we might be able to rightfully divide the precious word of truth. If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you turn with us to the 15th chapter of the book of Luke's Gospel. Luke, the beloved physician, traveled with the Apostle Paul, pinned down in Acts of the Apostles, almost like a journal of all the things, not just that Paul did or the church did, but what the Holy Spirit did through those men that He had called. And then Luke wrote this gospel. And I suppose if we had a favorite gospel, and they're all good and we love them all, but this would be the one that we just kind of gravitate to the most. In the 15th chapter of the book of Luke, this is going to be in a series of chapters, in a series of events, where that there are things that are lost, but then there are things that are found. And we're going to find that the Lord Jesus Christ is right in the middle of it, bidding men to come unto Him, bidding the world to be drawn unto Him. And so we're going to start with the first verse. And of course, there are a group, two groups or three, that always followed Jesus around, in addition to the crowds, in addition to those that were in need of Him. And that's the publicans and Pharisees. Now, notice that I said publicans, not Republicans. They always followed him to see what he was going to do, that they might accuse him, or that they might find fault with him. And starting with the first verse, we find these words. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, and notice this, what they said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. For I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. If correctly read, that's the first down through the 10th chapter of the book of Luke. Our thought will come from the book of Mark, and you don't need to necessarily turn there unless you want to, in the second chapter of the book of Mark, at the calling of Levi, or if you will, his name is referred to as Matthew. In the 17th verse, he said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. I came not to call the righteous, but I have come to call sinners unto repentance. That's you and I. He came to call all men unto him. Although that he made his appearing and his audience with those that were sick and infirm and those that were diseased and those that, my friend, came from the lower dredges of society at that day and at that time, yet the love of Christ reached out even unto those that were against him, and in a few months later would call for his crucifixion. Now, to the religious leaders, it was an enigma. They could not figure out if he was the Messiah, if he was a rabbi, if he was a teacher, why was it that he would eat with harlots, that he would eat with publicans, that he would eat with those that were the derelicts, if you will, of society? Why would he go unto them? Why would he sit down and eat in that day and in the time, just like today, in a few moments, barring me going no further than we really planned to in this sermon? But in that day and in that time, to sit down and to eat with one another was quite an event. It was a time of fellowship. It was a time of visiting. It was a time of talking. And you'll find that in several instances, that when Christ ate with even his disciples, or in one instance with the Pharisees, with these that were lost, that the conversation would turn towards the things of God. Our thought will come from that very fact, from that very thing. And our subject will be, if you will, and our theme will be, Jesus Christ is the only friend of sinners today. Did you hear what I said? He's the only friend. He's the only friend that you have today. He is, as what the scripture says in one place, he is as a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, I didn't grow up with brothers and sisters. And so whenever I would go visit friends, the dynamics always amazed me. They could go at each other's throat over what I thought was the least thing. And sometimes my friend would try to pull me into the fray, and I finally learned, you know, just a second, that's between you and your sister. That doesn't involve me. But there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Siblings love each other, but there's a love, there's a concern that goes far deeper than that. And Jesus is that friend of sinners. He called them unto Him. He walked in the places of Jerusalem, Nazareth, Capernaum, all throughout Judea. He would call, He would beckon, He would draw them unto Him. And there was something about Him. There was something about Jesus today that drew men unto Him. They couldn't put their finger on it. They could not understand it, but they were drawn to Him, even the Pharisees. And you would think a religious group like that would be, you know, so done with Him and so adamant with Him that they would have just left Him alone. But I think deep down inside that they were drawn to Him, and there was something that came upon them that kept drawing them unto Him. He's a friend of sinners today. He said in one place, He said that the Son of Man is not come that He might be served, but that He might serve and give His life as a ransom for sin. He touched them. I love that song that says, He touched me. Every one of us that have been saved at some point in their life, Christ Jesus touched them. And someone say, well, I didn't see Him walk in here with nail prints in His hands and put His hands upon me. But you know, whenever that the gospel is preached, whenever that it is expounded upon, Christ Jesus is there, and He is in the midst of even two or three that gather in His name. And thanks be unto God, we've got that beat this morning, don't we? But He said, I've come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. He touched them, and He was even willing for them to touch Him. There was a woman that had an issue of blood, and the Bible said that she had suffered for years and years and years upon end, gone to many physicians, could not find any relief whatsoever, no healing. But she heard of Jesus, and thanks be unto God for the message that goes out about Jesus today. And I pray that it goes out from this place. I pray that it goes out from all places, because the time is at hand. But she heard about this man that was able to raise the dead, heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind, and He was also able to forgive sin. And that's the most important part of healing today, is that Christ can heal the soul of the damage done to it by sin. And so she comes into a crowd, and she just thinks within herself, if I can just touch His garment, I would be satisfied, and I know that I'd be whole. And so it was, she touched the very bottom of His garment, and she was made whole. She was made complete. And she touched Him. And you know what? He touched her. And He knew that virtue had gone out of Him, because that's what He had come for. And virtue is still going out from Him today. He's still touching lives. He's still touching the lost. He's still touching those that are in need. Doesn't matter today whether you're lost or whether you're saved. He can be touched today. And He, you can go unto Him with anything that's upon your heart. He's a friend of the sinner today. Well, He didn't come to impress anybody. He didn't come the way you and I come into a place. He came the same way we come into the world, being born, but a special type of birth. A birth where that He was born of a virgin conceived by the Holy Spirit. Can you believe that today? Mary had not known man. Mary did not have relations with man. But oh, today, my friend, the Holy Spirit conceived that holy seed, the very Son of God. And He came forth. And my friend, He lived a life. He knew what it was to be hungry. He knew what it was to be lonely. He knew what it was, my friend, to suffer thirst and to suffer hunger today. And most importantly, He came not to impress Caesar or Pilate or Herod or the Pharisees themselves, Caiaphas or Ananias. He came to do the will of His Father. And someone will say today, what is the will of God? What is God's will? Show me, Lord, what the will of God is. Do you know what the will of God is? We find over in the book of Peter that it says, God is not willing. Now, I'm going to paraphrase that for just a moment. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come under repentance. I'm going to turn that around a little bit and put it in kind of a positive tone. God is willing that all, not just a few, not just some, not those that are raised in church, but He's willing that all would come under repentance and be saved by Him and know the joy of walking with Him and having Him dwell within their heart. He came to seek and to save the lost. Did you know that today? The Bible tells us over in one place in the book of Luke, and this that I read in your hearing, He used the example of a shepherd that had lost one. Can you imagine that today? Out of all those sheep, He was aware that there was one missing. But that's God today. He knows those that are lost, that need to be saved. Everybody that has never been saved need to be saved. And you might say, well, that's rather simple. But listen for just a moment. That shepherd left the 99. And you might say today, well, that's not a very good shepherd. He left the 99. Don't the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few? No, I'm not an expert on agriculture. You know, you could put my understanding of farming and so on and so forth in a thimble. But I do understand that sometimes sheep will even protect themselves. The rams will come around, and if any kind of predator comes, that they have the ability to run them off. So they were in safekeeping. They were under the protection of the shepherd. But that shepherd searched high and low. He went to the very extreme, and Jesus will go to the very extreme to save an individual, because that's the reason why that He has come into this world. He goes and He searches and He finds that sheep. As Jesus found you today, you've been saved. He went searching for you. And He drew you unto Himself. He wasn't concerned about anything else going on. And He doesn't expect you to be concerned about it. But He loves you so much that, my friend, if you were the only one that ever lived in this world, I believe He had come, paid the same price that He paid for all of us. And He would have died the death that you and I deserve. He would have shed His blood for our remission. He would have gone to the grave, tasted of death, and be raised again on the third day for our justification. The Bible tells us over in the book of Romans. My friend, He goes and He searches. Where does He search at? He searches in church. It's not by accident that you're here today. It's not, my friend, just by happenstance. But I want you to know everything that happens in this world happens with a purpose to it that God is using and God is orchestrating and God is moving along. It's not by accident. Now, I want you to realize today it's not by accident whenever that somebody laying in the gutter hears the gospel and it does something to them, and there have been countless others in that same condition that today, my friend, may have just passed it by. When we were in Chicago, I noticed something that was very interesting. Now, I was riding in an Uber, so I could gawk out the windows like I usually do, looking at things. And remarkable to me was how that Chicago, where we were at, was made up of little, almost cities, where the people that were the same nationality all lived. There were Serbians. There was a neighborhood for the Italians. There was a neighborhood for the Irish. There was a neighborhood for the Hispanics. There was a neighborhood for just a cosmopolitan group of people from every background. I want to tell you something today. God loves those people that are even in the countries that we read about and we hear about on TV and on the radio. And you might say, I don't think he's too pleased with the Muslims. My friend, he loves Muslims too. Amen?
Yeah.
He died for them. He died to give them an opportunity that they might hear the gospel and that they might break free of the legalism that they're bound in and be made free in the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we traveled along, I noticed in this one little community, and I couldn't read very many of the signs. I didn't understand the language. But near a school, up on a building, there was someone that had put this sign, "Seek Jesus." Seek Jesus. You might say today, well, what good would that do? It probably never dawned upon anyone. You might be surprised. Someone that would see that. And curiosity would overtake them. And they would take heed unto those words to seek after Jesus and to seek after his bidding. He took upon himself our sins and our punishment. And he took upon himself our dross, if you will. Isaiah tells us over one place, says these words. It says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. And we like sheep have all gone astray, each one to his several ways or separate ways. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He died and tasted of death and took the penalty upon himself. I want you to know, we'll, those that are saved will never know what it is to be eternally separated from God, because Jesus Christ himself tasted of that type of death for us. And I know that there's a movie that's going to be coming out soon, and people are going to clamor over it, and they're going to just miss the whole point of it. About, did Jesus Christ go to hell, or did Jesus Christ do this, or did he do that after he died? My friend, I want to tell you something. Hell came to him, and it engulfed him. And my friend, for an old moment, he was separated from God on our behalf. He cried out in the midst, upon the cross, he cried out in the midst of it, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's a cry that you'll never, ever, ever experience or come from your heart. And if you're lost today, I pray that you never, ever experience that or experience the separation and the burning. And someone will say today, well, I knew that preacher would be thumping his Bible and would be preaching about hell and brimstone. But my friend, it's a reality today. Just ask a rich man that's there that still desires a drop of water upon his tongue. But my friend, he took that upon himself. He tasted of death for every man. And then towards the end, he said, it is finished. The plan of redemption, the final plan of redemption, the final plan of salvation. Men will not have to sacrifice sheep and goats and come before priests. Thanks be unto God, we're not under the law. Because I don't think that I could, for on your part, go behind the veil. It would scare me to death to have to do that, because it's into the presence. It was into the presence of a righteous and holy God. But thanks be unto God, He tasted of death. And through the veil of His flesh, we have access unto God through Him. Amen? Amen? We most certainly do. Somebody will say, why do you say amen? Sometimes I amen myself at home at a thought that I have. But my friend, He also made it possible that we could be redeemed and brought out from under what is referred to in Galatians 3 and 13, the curse of the law. Jesus Christ Himself became that curse for us, to redeem us. As it is written, the Bible says over in one place, cursed is everyone, or cursed is he that hangeth upon a tree. He took the curse of God. And in that, He purchased our redemption. You've been saved, you're redeemed. If you're not saved, you're not redeemed. But get redeemed. Come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto this friend of sinners today. And I want to tell you something. If He saved a 17-year-old boy that had no right to even breathe His name, He can save anyone. If He can save somebody like me, didn't even understand fully what I got a hold of whenever the Lord saved me. But I knew I had peace with God. And I knew that I had a home in heaven. I couldn't explain it. I didn't know the theology of it. But oh, today, it's sweet. It's sweet. And it's precious to know Him and the free pardon of sin. So He redeems. He purchases us. But we also have forgiveness of sin. This friend will forgive you of your sin. Someone will say, you don't know my life. It doesn't matter whether I do or not. But it does matter to Jesus. But not that He's going to judge you today. He's not come to judge. Not come to condemn. He's come to save. And to set you free. He's come to give unto you eternal life. My friend, it only comes from Him. And the Bible tells us that we have in Christ the redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Oh, it's a great thing today, whenever that we are brought into that. And God draws us towards Him, and we walk with Jesus. Do you know that you can walk with Jesus every day, being saved, or you know, whatever the circumstances are? Used to, whenever I would drive in Nashville, and I'd have to pray when I drove in Nashville. No offense, Brother Massey. But oh, I would drive down to some of the hospitals down inside the inner cities and so on and so forth. And I'd be praying. And you know, I got to where that it was like I was talking to the Lord and He was sitting just right next to me. Wherever you go, take the Lord with you. Take Him along with you. He's your friend. He'll be with you no matter what. He will guide you no matter what. You know, I would sit and I'd be in traffic and I'd just be talking to Him, and you wouldn't believe the looks I would get from some of the drivers that were sitting to the right and to the left of me. You know, and I always thought, man, I wish I had holy boldness enough to motion them over so I could tell them who it is I'm talking about and talking to. But all I want to tell you, the walk with Jesus is just that real. And Him being a friend to us, and Him having done all this that He does for us. His love does not condone sin. Don't get me wrong today. His love, my friend, doesn't leave us in sin. It's a love that calls us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. The Apostle Peter tells us one place. And He's your only hope today. He's the only hope for the world. I know there's varied opinions about the election. That's fine. Everybody can have their opinion. But I want to tell you something. And this is nothing against either candidate. But I want you to know, my friend, I'm looking to Jesus. And I'm depending upon Him. I'm depending upon Him. I'm looking to him with all my heart. Irregardless of who's in office and whatnot, my friend, no matter what the status, no matter what is going on, I know these things. The wages of sin is death. Death is upon every individual's trail. Not just physical death, but those that are unsaved today, my friend, eternal death, dying, separated from God. But the flip side to that coin is, but the gift of God, the gift, my friend, that He gives through Jesus Christ, that gift is eternal life. And my friend, whenever that He saves, the Bible says there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I had, since that time I was saved, sat through some powerful sermons. And you know what? I thought, oh my Lord, I'm glad. I'm glad I've got this. As the song used to say, I'm glad I got this old time religion down in my heart. I'm glad I got Jesus down in my heart. Irregardless of whether it's religion or not, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And you know, today, for this revival, and as we look towards this, I want to encourage you today to invite people to come night after night after night after night. You got a good preacher right there. In fact, I was hoping maybe he was feeling the urge to take up his sword and preach this morning. But he said, no, I've come to hear you. And maybe by our faltering and everything, he'll learn not what to do. But oh, church, I want to tell you, we have got a mission. Our time is growing short. But the Bible tells us over one place we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. We're winners. We have passed from death unto life. We have this witness within us. We have this peace that people are looking for. And I'm going to close. Everybody in this world has in their soul a hole. They're trying to fill it with everything they can think of today. They're trying to fill it, some with drugs, some with other religions. I mean the religions that draw away and deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Some are trying to fill it with alcohol. Some are trying to fill it with other things of this life. I'm free. I can do anything that I want. I'm not obligated unto anything. My friend, there's no freedom like the freedom in Jesus Christ today. And they've got this hole. And you know, there's nobody that can fit that. Nobody, nothing. Except this man here. And oh, I ask that you pray not just for this revival, but as you go home, wherever it might be, when you see people driving and this and that and the other, pray for them. They're not just driving, they're heading someplace. And it's not to a destination that's on this earth. They're all heading down a pathway, either the broad road or either the narrow road. God bless you is my prayer. I don't know anyone's heart today. I just know my own. But I do know this, that if God can save a wicked 17-year-old boy, my friend that spat in the face of the gospel, yeah, that turned away from the preacher when he'd shake my hand, if He can save somebody like me, He can save you. And you can have that peace. You can have that joy. You can have that assurance. And I want you to know, you'll have all those things, but you will have peace. the only friend that there is, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we sing this song, this hymn, as I said, I don't know anyone's heart. It's no moan. But if you're here today, and there's a troubling within your heart, you're just not sure where you stand with God. Even people that doubt, I invite them to come to an altar to pray until they know and get that assured in their heart. If you're here today and you've never been saved and you've never been born again, we invite you to come. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. But it's not going to be our prayer. It's not going to be my counsel. But it's going to be when you go unto the high priest who liveth and abideth forever. When you go unto him with all of your heart. I want to tell you something today. He has never turned one away that comes to him with all of their heart. Amen. And with all of their soul. Amen.